You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBots with Bobby Chulo.
Man, it was funny because right before I went on the air, I was like slacking because I got so much going on. So I've only been doing my show every other Tuesday. So I talked with Kevin Kleinrock and them, and this was cool about Kevin because he's like, hey, man, I understand people got lives, you know, whatever. Just make sure, you know, you get it done, get it to Greg so he could put it up on all our Lucha Central networks and everything like that. But for the people, listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live. Don't forget to check out WrestleBossLive.com to check it out live. And then, of course, Lucha Central will put everything up on all the networks. But joining me, of course, Michael Parks, because there's so much wrestling that's going on, you know, and so much stuff that I like to run by him because we kind of have similar thoughts in the way wrestling should be or could be or what I wish it would be. So real quick, Michael Parks, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, man?
Well, let me tell you something. I was trying my hardest to stay awake. I didn't think I was going to make it right at 7 o'clock because I'm watching NXT and I was starting to fall into a deep sleep. But luckily, I was able to stay awake and be able to do the show because it is just god-awful. They are getting so I don't know about you, Mike, and I'm going to run this by you real quick before, because at 7:15 we got Tom Erickson coming on for the people who know Tom Erickson, ex-Pride fighter. Then he was coaching at Purdue University and then Duke University, and there's all kinds of stuff. There's a bunch of stuff I want to run by him, too, because the last two UFCs have just been wrestler. When you hear this, Mike, you're going to go, god dang, that is ridiculous. But we'll talk about that when Tom Erickson comes on, because somebody missed weight by 5 pounds and it was a big mess. So we're going to talk about that when Tom Erickson comes on. But real quick, Mike, this is my thoughts. I used to look forward to NXT because it was kind of different than Raw and SmackDown, because SmackDown and Raw is more entertainment and they're doing all these vignettes and, you know, people throwing fruit at each other. And I've seen Nia Jax 15 times in the last three shows, and it's just the same people. Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley and Bronson, it's just the same people over and over and over. So you used to look forward to NXT because they mixed it up and it was mostly wrestling. They only had 2 hours, so they're not, I mean, that's a lot, but still, in 2 hours they would put a lot of wrestling in that 2 hours. And now it's silly. Now it's just the same silliness and they're doing all this silly stuff or whatever. So I don't know about you, Mike, but I don't, like, if it's on, cool, and I'm home, I'll watch it. But, like, I don't make it a point to come home and say, hey, I got to watch NXT or whatever. I mean, are you the same, or give me your thoughts on that?
I mean, you remember the last conversation we had when I was on with you, and I was saying, you remember when we couldn't wait for Monday nights to watch Raw and Nitro? You know, it was like, dude, I can't miss it because something's going to happen. And now it's like blah. It's like, okay, if I see it, I see it. If I don't, oh well. It's not gonna hurt me.
Well, Mike, I mean, put it this way: when I was young, when I was in my teens, when I was 18, 19 years old, I was already working a full time job, and I went half with my parents to get the cable because Superstation TBS used to have wrestling on. I can't remember if it was on. I'm pretty sure it was on Saturday. And I would make sure that I wasn't working because, dude, I just used to be waiting for Ric Flair to come on and cut a promo. And then, you know, him and the Road Warriors and the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express. And I used to look forward to you know, watching. And then in 82, I was still in high school, but they used to have the wrestling for Madison Square Garden. So this is before we had no internet, none of that stuff like that. It was just either word of mouth or tape trading or whatever. And I used to go halfers on with my parents so we could get the wrestling from Madison Square Garden from it was on USA Network. Do you remember that back that far, Mike?
Heck yeah, man. Dude, I remember.
Are you pit bull fighting night over there? Please tell me you're not doing pit bull fights over there because I hear dogs barking.
No, that's my neighbor's dogs. I remember I had to be either over my friend's house or at home by 5 o'clock every Saturday so I could watch World Class.
And right, then, that too.
You know what I mean? And it was like that's when that's when you were like, I gotta watch it. You know, I laughed because I was almost late for my eighth grade graduation because the Magnum PA Wahoo McDaniels cage match for the United States title came on. And I remember my dad telling me, you gotta go. And I'm like, I can't. I gotta watch this match. I gotta watch this match. 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and he was like, we're gonna be late. And I'm like, Dad, wait a minute. And then right when I said, wait a minute, is when Magnum went over. Go ahead.
Right. You know that what's that? You know that wheel that you use? You know, you get on your knees and you hold the handle and you go out and you bring it back in to work your abs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? The ab wheel.
Yeah.
Bob Backlund. This is 1982. Bob Backlund did that wheel because the wrestling from Madison Square Garden was only an hour. He did that wheel the whole hour. He went to ringside and did that ab wheel for the whole hour. And it was because my stepdad, who hates, you know, like, he's one of those people that hates, like, oh, it's fake wrestling or whatever. But when he would see Bob Backlund do it, he'd go, now that's a real wrestler. See what I'm saying? That's a real wrestler right there. There was only two people, him and Kurt Angle, because he was always making fun of it. But then it was funny because we went to, like, a powerlifting thing, and Kurt Angle was just fresh in the business and was doing a signing. And I stood in line, and I went, you know, to go get my picture, get autograph or whatever. And I remember him walking up to him and going, hey, man, you know, you're a real wrestler. I have, you know, much respect for you because this is a real wrestler or whatever. So it's just, you know, become such a business, you know, or whatever. But, I mean, even AEW, we're gonna talk about that. I'm going to break all that down for you. We're going to talk a little bit about AEW and, of course, WWE. And then CMLL has a big tag team tournament coming up that I want to run by Mike, too. But before we get into all that, don't forget we got Tom Erickson coming up in about 10 minutes or so. I kind of like the whole concept of the War Games style match they had at AEW. I thought it was pretty cool that Chris Jericho and all them had like the jumpsuits on like you wear in prison and all that. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought they finally had a good idea. Now, first of all, Mike, did you see the whole thing?
No, because again, I I don't know what's going on. Danny, I really don't know what's going on, but it's just like I start watching it and I go, dude, is this, okay.
Mike.
No, watching the show, that's what I get.
Do me a favor. If you could see the replay or pull it up on YouTube or whatever it is, I counted three times that I saw them rip the tape open, pull the blade out, cut across, and throw the tape on the thing, and throw the jig on the side.
It
was ridiculous. MJF and Chris Jericho. Dude, Chris Jericho and MJF go to the – I mean, I know the curtain's pulled back, but god dang. They get up to the top of the cage, right? They're fighting up on top of the cage. Jericho literally on camera peels his tape back, pulls out the gig. MJF blows the spot and starts working his hand. So he's hitting him. So you know how you like you pinch a guitar pick? He's got the Jericho's got the jig in his hand like a guitar pick. They do whatever spot, stand back up, and Jericho's punching him, but only with three fingers because he's got the jig. He's got the jig in his fingers.
Oh.
And I'm going, what are you? And you can see in his face, he's going, god dang it. Throw me into the cage. So he's telling him, throw me into the cage. So finally he throws him into the cage, you know, like face down because they're on top of the cage. And Chris Jericho turns, and all you see is just coast to coast. Bacatelas. Like, him. And who's the chubby guy that looks like Arn Anderson from FTW? I forget his name. Those guys from FTW.
Is Dawson
the one that kind of looks like Arn Anderson? Same thing with him. He pulls he literally in front of the camera rips the tape off, pulls the gig out. They screw up. What's his name? Sammy Guevara did a couple of little punches or whatever, and he could see. He turns and tells him, throw me into the cage. And he throws him into the cage and just coast to coast. I'm like, Are they doing it on purpose? Are they not trying to hide it? That's what it looked like. I mean, it was just horrible. I'm sorry. I'm you know, maybe I'm a grizzled old veteran or whatever, but I thought, dude, what are you doing? I mean, it was really please, Mike, for us, and we'll talk about it next week. Please watch the show and tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, it was horrible. And then they at the end, MJF throws Jericho off the cage. Right, it looked like 18 feet of cardboard boxes, and you know that was the finish or whatever. But it was just, you know, it started out good, it got worse, and then it got worse than worse at the end or whatever. Yeah, so,
that was the big talk on social media, was the fact that, dude, did you see the landing pad? Yeah, did you see the landing pad that Jericho had? And I'm like, what? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No,
but
no.
Go ahead. when you see, like, they showed the lead up to it, and they showed, like, you know, Sting and Flair, and, you know, it was Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson, and it was just a brawl, man. And you didn't – I mean, you didn't see them picking at the tape and going coast to coast or whatever. I mean, it looked like a fight. Do you think that you know, first of all, when you look at that, the guys looked big. You know, Sting was in shape, and, you know, Flair, of course, was the champ, and they just looked like guys in a bar fight. Now it just kind of looks like – some young kid, maybe because I'm older, like just some, other than Jericho, some young kids just going in there and kind of like still, even though it's a brawl, doing moves. You know what I mean? Sammy Guevara tried to jump from one ring to the other and almost killed himself because he almost missed the other rope. This, in my opinion, I think they should have just brawled. Like Bruiser Brody, Stan Hansen, Dr. Death style, it just went at it. Terry Gordy was the ultimate in that. I mean, you thought, hey, man, Bam Bam's whooping somebody's ass. I mean, you couldn't tell. You think that's what they need, some big brawlers to get out there? Because these guys, to me, look tiny.
I don't know if they need big brawlers. I don't know if the veterans are teaching these new kids, you know, the old way of doing things. But, I mean, this new style of I'm going to do it my way, it ain't working. It ain't working.
Yeah, other than Brody King, I don't really see somebody who's like a brawler that's just going to come down and clean house and just, you know, be there. But we're going to expand a little bit more on that. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Of course, I want to talk about, you know, Ricky Starks got hurt, a neck injury. I want to talk about that. Jinder Mahal made his comeback. And then we'll go over the backlash to WrestleMania. We'll talk about some of the matches there. You good with that, Mike?
Yeah. You know, there is a brawler. God, what is his name? He's in MLW. Big swole up dude. Blonde-haired guy. Oh, what is his name? He holds a championship right now.
I know who you're talking about, man. He just wrestled Joe Graves, but I can't remember his name for the life of me because he wrestled over here for Joseph at PCW. I'll think of the name, and we'll talk about that when we go back to doing the wrestling. But let me take the big commercial break so we can find out what's going on with Lucha Central. We'll come back. We'll talk to Tom Marison, switch some gears a little bit, and then Michael and I will come back and talk a little bit more about that. Hold on, everybody. We'll be right back after this.
Hey everyone, it's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a reminder of where and when to catch all of the great network content this week. Get the full lineup and listen to all of our shows in the podcast network section of luchacentral.com. On Tuesdays, Mass, Mats, and Mayhem takes you inside the world of Lucha Underground as they take you weekly through the series with the benefit of hindsight and the benefit of special guests from the groundbreaking series. Check out the premiere video stream every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Lucha Central YouTube channel and at luchacentral.com. Then listen to it on your favorite podcast platform every Wednesday. Tuesday nights live is WrestleBoss, where Favi Chulo talks MMA and pro wrestling with special guest and listener Collins. Visit WrestleBossLive.com Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific to listen live or call in with questions or download the show on podcast platforms on Wednesdays. Wednesday nights live on Facebook, it's Spanish show La Mesa de los Margaros, giving you both the news and the cheese made from around the lucha world. Special guests and a whole lot of fun make it one of the most talked about shows in Mexico. Thursdays, it's Straight Out of the Bodega with Papo Esco and PWR promoter Gabriel Ramirez, as they have guests from throughout the wrestling world pull up to give an inside look into their careers. From indie standouts to television superstars, each week brings a new name and perspective. On Friday, it's your double dose of Lucha Central weekly podcast, one in English y el otro en español. Lucha Central Weekly is where you'll find all the top stories of the week, both inside and out of the ring from Mexico and anywhere luchadores are in action across the globe. Be sure to subscribe and follow all your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platforms, either by their own series name or subscribe to the Lucha Central Podcast Network show pages to get all of the shows in one easy feed. And please consider giving a rating to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I was hoping to get some coffee here because I think the Keurig's on, but my wife took off, so I don't know what happened. I was hoping to get a cup of coffee here, but I need it after watching NXT. I mean, I'm telling you, dude, I was about to pass out, but real quick for the people listening to us, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live. I got Michael Parks. We're ducking a little bit of wrestling, but I'm going to switch gears and talk to Tom Erickson because, you know, Mike, when I have people, like I call my go-to people, And Tom Erickson is legit. When I have, like, questions about MMA, coaching, and stuff like that, he's the real deal, you know, former Pride fighter and coach and stuff like that. So that's why I like to talk to him about certain things.
Hello?
Hey, Tom, it's Fabiano. You're live on WrestleBoss. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yes, can you hear me?
Ah, good. Great. Real quick for the people that are listening to us, don't forget you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live. You can check us out back on Tuesday nights from 7 till about 8 o'clock. So we really appreciate everybody coming back to Tuesday nights. We tried Friday, and it just didn't work because there was so many people that had so much to do. But on the line with me right now, somebody – and, Tom, I was talking to my friend Michael Parks over here, who's been with me for, like, over 20 years in the wrestling business and through all everything, jiu-jitsu and MMA. Real quick, Mike, say hi to Tom Erickson.
How you doing this evening, Tom? Good, man. Nice talking to you.
Before I made the call, I was telling him, I said, there's certain people that I like to go to when I have, like, some questions or some thoughts or whatever. And, of course, I get tons of emails and messages because, you know, you got a lot of keyboard warriors and stuff like that. But I want to talk a little bit about coaching at the collegiate level and Olympic. But, you know, I got to tell you, man, you know, I was watching the lead up to the big UFC pay-per-view that's coming because Michael Chandler is fighting. And, you know, to me, it's just that when you somebody like Michael Chandler, who used to wrestle at, you know, University of Missouri, they just have that grind, man. They're just so used to just training and grinding out and being on that mat and going from one opponent to the other. It's just like, to me, I mean, just from what I see, it's like another day for him. He's just like, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. I'm ready. I don't worry about what they're doing. They're just so used to, like, you know, when you go to a tournament, Tom, you don't know who you're going to wrestle. Sometimes in the collegiate level, you might, you know, come across the same guy a couple of times because you're in the same weight division. But, like, when you're in a tournament, you know, you have to be ready for anything. Do you think that's the reason why the wrestlers have done so well in the UFC and Pride and PFL and things like that?
Well, but I've always contended that that's the difference between a good wrestler and an elite level wrestler. You know, good wrestlers are going to be really tough. They're going to be able to take you down. They're going to hand fight you and probably get paid a certain degree of what fight they go. But an elite level wrestler will do those things plus some more. They make the adjustment. The elite level, that next level wrestler makes that adjustment during the fight, just like the hell with a match. Those elite level, all-American national champion type wrestlers, they make adjustments in that. You know, they're good, they're prepared for a certain style. You need the right leg, they need to shoot off, you know, a high crotch on their side, et cetera, et cetera. But now I make an adjustment during the match, he makes an adjustment. And that's why, you know, it's a chess match. Just like really, really big jiu-jitsu, not a whole lot happens. It's almost boring. But to an aficionado of BJJ, it's impressive to watch.
Yeah.
And the same thing that you kind of go in with, like, no, Russell, he's making an adjustment in fight, which is really tough to do.
Yeah. Now, did you get a chance to watch the UFC last week? And I don't know if you're still keeping up or whatever, but Gregor Gillespie, who's also a wrestler, got fight of the night last Saturday. Did you get a chance to check that out at all?
I actually watched that fight. I know Gregor because one of my biggest adversaries, Bruce Bumgarner, was a coach at Edinburgh and then the athletic director at Edinburgh. So yeah, I know Gregor. Not real well, but I know him.
Yeah.
You know what? He did an outstanding job of making the adjustment. That first round wasn't necessarily a good round for him.
Yeah, and that right there to me seems like a perfect example of what you were just talking about. He was starting to catch a couple of shots or whatever, but, you know, he closed the distance and he kept it tight and drug him into, like, really made him work. Ferreira made him work. And then once he got him into the second round, then he just took over. So when you say like that, making adjustments, I mean, he like wrestlers usually are. He's in shape. He's ready to go. He can go five rounds and keep it at the same pace for five rounds. So that's what happened. But I was telling Mike, you know, that I was checking out the press conference afterwards. And since Ferreira was 4 pounds over, okay, not only did Gregor get 10% because he went ahead and went on with the fight since he was overweight, but they got fight of the night. And since Ferreira didn't make the weight, Gregor got his part of the bonus. So he made out like a bandit. So that's what I'm telling Mike. If you're in shape, you're prepared and ready to go. That's just another example of what can happen. I mean, you know, he just made out like a bandit. Hold on a second. Did he drop Mike?
No, I'm here.
You know what I think? God darn it. He dropped. Shoot. Hold on a second.
Oh.
You know what I'm gonna say, he was a little, what do you call it? So I'm gonna send him the call in number, and then that'll make it a little bit easier. Hold on a second. Yeah, I'm gonna take a quick break. Hang on, everybody. We'll be right back after this. Getting back on here. Hang on.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon.
Hello?
Go to Lucha-Masks.com.
Hang on, a commercial.
And fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at Lucha-Masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Sorry about that. I was going on, and then all of a sudden the call just dropped, and it comes up on my screen that Tom Erickson has just dropped. But he is back on. He called back in on the call-in number, so he's still with us. But, Tom, you got the gist of what I was talking about, how when you're in shape and you're ready to go, good things happen because, you know, he made out like a bandit at this last fight, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't really. You kind of clued me into something new that I wasn't aware of. Like, if you got the fight of the night bonus, you collect their bonus. I know that you got a percentage, you know, an extra percentage of the purse if you're overweight, et cetera. He has to pay that fee. Fight of the night bonus is awesome. I didn't know he took his fight of the night bonus, but
yeah.
You look at Gregor, man. He looked in that first round a little bit. I don't want to say rattled, but like, okay. He was kind of trying to find himself. And then the second round, he's like, okay, we made the adjustments, got him in the corner, talked to him in the corner.
made the adjustments, went out there and applied the adjustments. I think it'll be really good doing it. Got to fight tonight. So I was fired up. Anytime I see a good, one of our elite level wrestlers kick some butt, I'm fired up.
A little disappointed.
My guy, I'm not disappointed in him. I think he did an outstanding job. It was over in Bellator at Juan Archuleta. I actually had the good fortune to coach him while I was at Purdue.
Yeah. He is over here where we're out in Orange County area or whatever. And I had him on the show a few times. When I was doing the announcing for King of the Cage, he was the champion out there. So I got to watch him, progress or whatever. And I mean, you can kind of see the guys that are like, look, man, I got something here. I'm going to keep going. Cause he moved his camp and he got a strength and conditioning coach. And really, I mean, you could see the progression, but when you get to that level in Bellator, I mean, it's always, it's always a fight. They got some good fighters out there, but I'm 100% sure he's going to bounce back. Cause that's the type of kid that he is. And I look forward to his next fight. Definitely. But real quick before I move on, it's funny because I get a lot of emails and a lot of messages and they're saying, well, I don't watch UFC anymore because it's so watered down and it's a business now and everything. So I kind of get that, that it's a business and you have to put a certain amount on TV or whatever. But, I had Sean Sherk on my show a while back. It was, I'm going to say about a year ago. And we were talking and I asked him the same question. And he goes, when I was at my peak, he goes, I had one loss. He goes, and my loss was to Matt Hughes, who was the champion. He goes, and I got cut. He goes, so, back then, that's how it was. He goes, that's why I ended up going to Pride. He goes, now you got these guys that got, four or five losses, and they get their contracts renewed or whatever. He goes, so it was a lot different back then. You kind of feel the same way, Tom?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually
Is he still there, Mike? Can you hear him?
No, I can't hear him. Did he drop again?
I'm still
here.
Oh, good. I'm sorry. You just dropped for just a second. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry, man. I don't mean to make this difficult.
No,
but I'm kind of getting really excited about MMA in general and the UFC a little bit. Look, we went through our Conor McGregor phase and the show off and the mouth and entertainment phase, and we're getting back to guys that actually are fighting now. Okay,
yes.
Conor, he was part of the show. He was a very good fighter, but he wasn't an elite level fighter. But he had a lot of show, a lot of promotion. We had guys that it got to be a lot of promotion, and it got less about the actual fighting skills. And I think we've gotten back to some actual fighting skills. You got Poirier in there, man. He made the adjustments. He came back, beat Conor like he's supposed to, et cetera. And I think that look at the divisions now that Usman, a very skilled technical fighter. Who knows what John Jones is going to do? I always loved him in the sense that I thought he could be one of the awesomest guys, but personal things that killed him. But just look, let's get back to the fighting stage and the good talent level of it. Like the GSP era of fighting and things like that. I thought that was a big era when we made a generational jump in terms of a skill set of fighters. And then, like I said, Conor and a couple other guys, we got into the showmanship of it. We got to sell the fights. Dude, I'm an old school. Let's just go fight, man. Let's just go after and fight.
I agree, but let's put it this way. I work hard for my money, man. I'm in the medical field, and we're there all the time. So when I'm going to put my money down for a pay-per-view, that's there's only certain people I would pay money, to see. Now, Michael Chandler, I know I'm going to get my money's worth. That dude's coming to fight. Win or lose, that guy's going to make a fight of it, and you're going to get your money's worth. So it kind of makes sense what you're talking about because that's you can have all the showmanship and whatever, and that sells. But when I see somebody like that, I go, I'm going to get that paper because I know that guy's coming to fight. So you remember I always quote Dan Gable because I read his book and I watched all his interviews and stuff. And he said, I never got mad at somebody for winning or losing. I just wanted them when they wrestled somebody, when they got off the mat for the opponent to say, I never want to wrestle that guy again. He goes, that's all I wanted.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's right. You know, win or lose, if that guy's like, you know, hey, I don't want to go against this guy again or whatever. And I'm pretty sure Dana and them see that, and they're like, yeah, if win or lose, this guy's coming to fight. So we're going to do it. So I think, like you said, that's pretty much what we're getting back to. So I look forward to it. Definitely look forward to the UFC this weekend. But real quick for the people listening, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Bobby Chulo. Got my man Michael Parks hanging with me, and we're talking to Tom Erickson, talking a little bit about, you know, the UFC and how the wrestlers are just so used to that daily grind and stuff like that. Now, another question I wanted to ask you, Tom, is out here in where we live on the West Coast, I grew up with the coach named Mike Catalan. Him and I coached at a high school level out here. His daughter, Jackie, was just an elite wrestler. I mean, just really good. She blew through everything through high school and everything. And then she just recently went to the, I believe it was the Senior Nationals or whatever. And, I mean, she was just
amazing. She was at the Olympic Trials.
Yeah. Are you familiar?
Are
you familiar with Jackie Catalan?
Vaguely, but the irony of it is she wrestles for Titan Mercury, and I was with Titan Mercury, and they picked us both up at the airport together down in Texas for the Olympic Trials. So we rode in the van together back over to the hotel.
Yeah, well, I've known her for years, since she was 3 years old, and seen her, you know, blossom into it. So when she left for the trials, I thought, this is it, man. She's going to Olympics, and it's going to be huge. But when you get to that level or whatever, I mean, what's the difference? Is it just, you know, is it just the conditioning, or is it, you know, I just don't understand how she didn't make it. I mean, of course, she gave 100%. She trained. She was ready. But what is that difference when you get to that level?
I'll give you an example. I used to be at Lyon College. It's an NAI school in Batesville, Arkansas, and we have two programs here, a men's program and a women's program. Mm-hmm. This year, they had a young lady who won the national title, an NAIA national title for Lyon, which qualified her for the Olympic trials. And she was down in Texas. I was coaching a young man named by Nathan Tomasello, who ended up finishing third. And I got a chance to see Jasmine Hernandez was the young lady's name. And I got to visit with Jasmine. I said, Jasmine, look, you deserve to be here. First and foremost, you deserve to be here. Second of all, be ready right off the bat. You're going to go out there because these girls who have been doing this on the circuit, so to speak, are going to come out there and are going to punch you in the mouth. They're going to try to roll you over, get over to the next match right away because you're an unknown commodity. So they're going to come out there, punch you in the face, see how you react. If you don't react properly, they're going to roll you up, tech fall, pin you, get you off, let's go to the next match. And that's exactly what happened to her in a match. She got tech falled. And I saw her in the back, and she's like, you were right. I said, I'm not about being right. I was just trying to tell you this is what's going to happen. You have to be prepared to go ahead and take what you do and ram it down their throat. Think about it. In practice, or whatever your sport is, if you're rolling in jits or whatever, you've got a guy, you're going to roll him up. Why? You know, unless you're there to play around a little bit in practice, but in a competition, if you've got a guy you're better than, you're going to roll him up. You're going to submit him, get him off there. Same thing in wrestling. You're going to roll them up, get them out there. The longer you let somebody stay around who's not on your level, so to speak, opens the door for them. And you just can't do that. So, and at this level, they take care of business. They're not here to play and, you know, like a little cat playing with its mouse. They're here to finish the job, move on next match, make their Olympic team.
Yeah. But see, that's that Tom Erickson experience. You know what I mean? He's done and seen it all, so you know he would know. But that it just amazes me how you just like you continue to grow. I mean, it's just there's always something new, always something different. And like you said, you have to be prepared. There's no other sport, you know, like that in wrestling where it's just, you know, you could be grinding it out and in shape or whatever, but you just come up against something. It was funny too because I remember reading Kurt Angle's biography, and he said, you know, when I was getting ready for the Olympics and I went to Russia and I was on something, trials or something like that, he goes, and I lost to one of the Russians. He goes, and when I was leaving the hotel, I saw them out there and they were all smoking cigarettes and drinking, and I thought, you know what, I am never going to lose to a Russian person again after seeing, you know, how hard I trained, and these guys were smoking and drinking vodka. So it's to me, it's the best sport in the world, man. I mean, it's just nothing like it. But anyways, unfortunately, Tom, I could talk to Tom all day, man, because I got so much, because I just like to pick his brain. But I'm running up against the clock. But another thing that I wanted to run by you, I get a lot of MMA guys on here, you know, a lot of them that have retired or still kind of in the game or whatever. And I was talking to, I can't remember what I was talking, we're talking about Diego Sanchez, about retirement and stuff like that. And he was telling me, you know, a lot of guys can't deal with it, you know, because if you retire and you're not really doing much, you're just constantly thinking about it. You think, well, I should go back and maybe I could do this. He said, but with me, in which I'm kind of speaking for Tom, I think, you know, since he's so busy because he went into coaching and, you know, at Purdue and then, you know, where you're at now and stuff. So you're always busy. Did that ever cross your mind at any time where you're like, man, I think I want to go back and have one more? Or are you like, you know what, I did it. I'm done with it. I'm moving on to coaching. Or did that ever cross your mind? Or did you ever have that problem? Or you're just so busy you didn't even think about it?
No, I never had that problem. And crazy story, quick little anecdote. You know, in wrestling, when you get too old, you get pinned and it's over and you lose, or you get tech fall. You score a lot of points. In fighting, you get too old and it's a mistake. It takes longer to wake up after being knocked out. So I've never had that. You know, and the sad thing is the money wasn't really big when I did it. It was starting to get there. It was starting to be kind of okay. Well, that's nice. I mean, money's money, but. I can name a few people. I won't, but there's a few people that I've been with, I've cornered and been around that chase the dollar. It's hard. It's hard, man. You got to look for me. I mean, I reflect back. There's a couple things that I'm kind of proud about in my career that I've been able to do. One of them, I fought in one of the longest MMA fights ever, 40 minutes with Murillo. We had a 40-minute fight, guy my size, 40-minute fight. Then the other thing is I was in one of the biggest MMA events ever, and that's the fight in Tokyo against Matt Skelton. That was in front of 53,000 people.
Yes.
Man, it's hard to match that adulation and that pump to walk in front of 53,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, there's just the crowd and stuff. And like I said, there's some people that I know that have chased fights and chased money, and it's just not worth it. I mean, it just takes longer to wake up. Man, I've been and I've cornered people. You know, Gary Goodrich is a very good friend of mine. I've been with him in K-1 fights where I literally had to sleep with him the night before just to make sure concussions, et cetera, and stuff like that. Where, no, man, I had no ego about that, trying to make some money. I tore myself up enough as it is. I don't need to go out there and do more brain damage. My wife already worries about me as it is.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, that's very scary. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Fabio, I have a question for you then. This is Cowboy Cerrone. After his fight Saturday, everybody was talking about, hey, you know, his last fight? You know, is it time? And he's like, it was just a bad day. And it's like, okay, man, when do you look in the mirror and say that bad day is. You know, this is your fifth fight in a row that you lost.
So how many bad days have you had?
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Honestly, you got to go back to management and your boys in the gym. They know. Come on, they know.
Yeah.
And there's people that are hangers-on. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people that can't do it, but are good friends of yours and, hey, I'm going to go with you to Japan. I'm going to go over here and go see this. I'm going to march in with you. I'm going to be in your little entourage and things like that. Well, you know what? They don't go through the punishment in the gym. They don't go through all the time in the banging. They're not laying in bed with a guy making sure he's in the hospital, making sure he's getting stitched up and everything else. Now, the fact of the matter is those people, you know, aren't there. You know, and it takes really someone who really cares for you. Look, Cerrone, man, he can hate my guts for saying this, and people get mad at me. Dude, if you're already asking, you fought one too many fights as it is. If you're asking now and saying he should stop, he's already fought one or two fights more than he should have.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what his position is financially, but, hey, if you're talking that way, you've gone one or two fights too many as it is.
That's what I was going to say, especially for somebody like him. I think he's tied the record for the most bonuses, fight of the night bonuses. So he's very well set or whatever. But what he said in the press conference was, I don't want to go out on a losing note. I want, you know, I want to go out with the win or whatever. So it's kind of true, like what you're saying, you know, that he's still chasing that one because he just doesn't want to go out on a losing record or whatever. But that dude, to me, he doesn't have anything to prove. That dude's really, you know, didn't pick his fights.
He's a banger, man.
Yeah. So, you know, but there's certain people, you know, you can't say, hey, man, you need to stop whatever. You know, they're their own person. So you got to kind of, you know, be cool with them or whatever. But anyways, unfortunately, man, I'm running up against the clock. But I got to tell you, Tom, you know, I've been a wrestler forever. But when I started getting into MMA, you know, I worked for Tap Out for 7 years. And then I worked for Ed Sorez at Sinister for a year. And then Scotty from On the Mat, I worked for him for 8 years. And then with the pandemic, when it hit, we had to pull the plug on the Mat Radio, and which was horrible, you know, or whatever. But luckily, Lucha Central picked me up, and I started working for them. But, you know, I recently got a call from Scotty. When we used to have On the Mat Fight Shop in Las Vegas, we didn't even have to book anybody. We would just set up, do a live broadcast, and so many people came in that we were able to do broadcast, you know, just from there. So we talked recently, and, you know, he's building, you know, hospitals and stuff like that. So I can't really say, hey, let's get back to it when you're doing something like that. But we recently have talked, and he's like, hey, man, I definitely want to come back. I'm going to finish a couple of things up. We're gonna get that OTM back in Vegas, and I definitely want you to be a part of it or whatever. So the jiu-jitsu, you know, MMA community or whatever has always been good to me. So that's why, you know, when Scotty calls or whatever, I, you know, and thanks to Kevin Kleinrock for this show, because they let me do what I want. They let me have who I want on. So to me, that's what MMA means to me. It's like a family, man. People stick together and they help each other or whatever.
A lot of respect between those two groups for sure, especially at that elite level. Hey, you got some guys that like to bump and you know, talk some yang and stuff like that. But you talk about the elite level guys, a lot of respect.
But the point I'm trying to make is when I have people like Tom Erickson on my show, that legitimizes my show. So that's when, you know, Scotty and them say, hey, man, you know, you're still working and getting it out there, whatever. I appreciate it. So let's go back and do this. So from me, I appreciate you coming on. You know, it's good to pick Tom's brain because he speaks from the heart, man. He knows what's happening. He's been there. He's done it all. So that's why we have Tom Erickson on the show. So from me, I appreciate you coming on, Tom, and you're doing good things. You know, I keep up with Tom on his Facebook, and he's always got something going on. And when I saw that the thing that meant the most to him was when he sees somebody graduate, you know, that he's been coaching and stuff like that, because, you know, that to me, when I was coaching, that meant a lot to me too, you know, that those kids did well and went on to do well. So that's got to be, I mean, that's got to fill your heart, right?
Oh, absolutely. I make a point to see them graduate, you know. Well, like this year we had COVID. I made a point to make sure got in there and got a chance to see them walk the stage. And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal in their lives, parents' lives, a lot of money, et cetera. But it's a big deal.
Yeah, and I think that's the difference. You know, Tom cares, and he wants to make sure they do well, which I'm sure a lot of coaches do. But it makes a big difference. So, Tom, I appreciate it, man. For the people listening to us, if you want to follow Tom, just put Tom Erickson in your little Facebook search engine. He keeps everybody up to date on there. And I look forward to the next season, because finally this COVID, I think, is starting to get behind us, so we can have a full season next year. And definitely have to get you on right before the season, so we can see how the year is going to shape up for you. All right, my friend.
Absolutely, man. Anytime, anything I can do to help you guys out, you just let me know. I'm in for you. You know that.
Hey, we are most appreciative. So, Tom Erickson, make sure you check him out. Tom, I'll get with you soon, my man, and I appreciate you coming on.
Yep.
Talk to you soon. All right, buddy. We'll
All
be right
man.
Back.
Have a great night. Bye.
All right.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
You know what, Mike? I'm gonna give you. I got a Pride DVD in my garage. I was watching it the other day, and Tom Erickson fights a dude named Tim Catalfo. And you know, we're talking about big bruisers going at it, and talking about, dude, that was two big dudes that were just going at it. Because Tom's a big dude. He's like 6'5". I think he's like 3 bills back then or whatever. And Tim Katolfo was a big dude too. And I mean, it was just knockdown, drag out a fight or whatever. So I'm going to float that to you so you can check it out. But, you know, this is real quick because we're going to get to some wrestling news and stuff like that. But this is the way for the many years that I've been doing it. There's some guys that I'll call, you know, and I'll go, hey, man, could you do my show? Or, nah, I ain't got time for it. Bam, and they hang up on me. Or they shut the door in my face. But then there's dudes like that, Tom Erickson, you know, Sean Sherk, people like that. They, absolutely, bro, yeah, man, let's get on. Let's talk about it and stuff like that. So those are the guys that make it worthwhile. You know what I mean? He'll come on. And it's funny because I had him on before a while back, and he's like, yeah, you know, man, I say what I say. He goes, I'm too big. I don't run from nobody. You know where I'm at if you're looking for me here or whatever. So that's why I like to have people like that on, man, because he's a real deal, man. He's just a real deal, and he keeps going. And it's a good point because some of the fighters, they're getting kind of lost, you know, when they retire. But he just kept moving on, man. Purdue University, then Duke University, and just always busy. You know, off season they still got to keep training and stuff like that. So he's always busy. So I think that makes a big difference. So appreciate him coming on. But anyways, Mike, talking about the big bruisers and stuff like that we got coming in, and we're talking about Brody King and stuff, and he's got a new faction, you know, he's with Homicide and all those people or whatever. So I haven't been able to watch Ring of Honor or whatever because unfortunately it comes on at midnight on Fridays, and I try my hardest to, it's funny because I'll be sitting in the chair, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to make it, bro, it's only 5 minutes or whatever, and then 45 minutes later I'll wake up and go, God dang it, I missed it, so... And I haven't jumped into the 21st century yet and got a DVR or whatever. So, I got to go to Jessica's room to watch ESPN Plus because I don't know how to work the PlayStation that she has it on or whatever. So, I mean, I'm way behind the times. But anyways, you know, we talked about AEW. Ricky, did you happen to see the AEW when Ricky Starks wrestled Hangman Page?
No, I did not.
Well, first of all, tell me what you think of Ricky Starks.
I liked him when he was in NWA, you know, and he became the NWA television champ. He's just kind of over the top.
Hold on. Ricky Starks was at NWA with Ice Cube and Eazy-E and them?
You really remember. See, there you go. Wow.
Sorry about that. I had to throw that in. But because when you say NWA, you know, that's the first thing that comes up. But, you know, when I see that dude, for some reason, I see money. I mean, I go, you know, it's weird because certain people I watch and I'm like, okay, whatever. But I see Ricky Starks and I see money. I think that guy could be a star if you just mold him the right way or whatever. So I think he's a star. But I don't know what happened. But they missed something and he kind of fell wrong. But luckily what they're saying is that he had like a slight, like a hairline fracture in his neck, which is always dangerous. You know what I mean? So they said, hey, man, let's put you on the sidelines for a while. We don't want you to get hurt or whatever. But, you know, to me, when you get an injury like that, I think there's always something in the back of your head where you're always going to worry about it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, shit. Hey, bro, I'm going to give you a pop. Yeah, you know what? Let's do a hip toss.
Yeah.
Or something. You know what I mean? You think that's going to happen?
Yep.
I think so, too.
You know what?
I don't know
because, you know, you would have thought that, was it Takahashi that he broke his neck?
Oh, you mean Hayabusa? Talking about Hayabusa?
No. In Will Ospreay broke his neck. Come on.
Oh, man, dude, I think we both have Alzheimer's because I can see who you're talking about. But I can't remember his name. But, yeah.
Because he's injured again. He's out again.
Well, the way wrestling is now, the chances that they take is very scary. I see a lot of things where I'm like, dude, you know, I don't know if you need to do that right there or whatever. I just get really worried. Maybe because, well, I've always been fat, so I never had to worry about it because I was just catching people. So I didn't have to worry about that. But it's very scary. And I would just hate to see somebody like Ricky Starks get put on the shelf for something like that because I think that dude's got potential. I see money with that dude. I just see it in him or whatever. But anyways, you wish him the best of luck. I mean, he's one of the few people that I actually like to watch on AEW, so I hope he comes back. Let me, real quick before I move on, give me your thoughts on Taz. This is my thoughts real quick. I think Taz is awesome. When we used to come and watch the ECW pay-per-view, I thought he was cool. I thought it was just he was brash. He was in shape. He was tan. He will suplex the heck out of you. I dig the black and orange. I like the pattern orange shoes, you know, boots with the black on the tip and on the heel. I thought he was great. So when he retired and he started doing his radio show, I thought that was cool. You should listen to it all the time. So now that he's back in AEW, when I see him, I'm like, first of all, Taz has every right to have a big belly. You know, he's retired and just like that. But when I see him, he just used to be such a badass. I just wish for some reason that he would just like get himself together and just come out one day and just be back in shape. You know, he doesn't have to be ripped or he doesn't have to be big, but just in shape because he was just such a bad dude. What do you think?
Then again, you know, he can have the mindset, I did what I did. I paid my dues. Now I can be me. And I'm gonna live my life, you know, with my pot belly, with my hog in. I don't care what nobody says. I'm happy.
Yeah.
More power to him. Now, if it was, you know, I'm gonna come out of retirement and wrestle. Well, bro, then
no, I'm not too. I'm not saying
story.
That. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
Because Paul Ellering used to work out with the Road Warriors. You know, he was in shape, you know, or whatever, even though he was retired or whatever. And it just added to the persona, you know. So if he came out and was in shape, it's like, hey, man, this dude practices what he preaches. I mean, this is the man right here or whatever. It would just, to me, it would seem like he would be taken a little bit more serious or whatever. Because Christian bagged on it big time. He goes, you know what, man? He goes, I'd come talk to you face to face, but I don't have a ladder that you can stand on right now. And I started busting. Oh, now you with the short jokes or what? And he got him, and Taz didn't have no. Usually Taz has a retaliation, and he didn't have it. And I'm like, damn it, dude, where's the old Taz at? So that was a good one. I was busting up, but you know the old Taz would have had something for him or whatever. So that's all I'm saying. He doesn't have to be all buffed out or whatever. I just like to see him, you know, just in shape and just make a quick, like a year run where he would just, you know, and this is my son and my son is badass. And if you mess with me, I'm, you know, this is what happens or whatever. I'm just putting it out there. But anyways, that's there. But you know what, Mike, I have a list of a bunch of stuff I want to talk to you about, but I got to tell you, man, have you been watching on Sunday nights? First of all, on A&E, they have the biographies, which is pretty cool. I thought they were going to be kind of bubblegum, but you know, there's no BS on that stuff. I mean, they were talking about, you know, Macho Man doing ecstasy and steroids and, you know, Elizabeth messing around on him and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, this is pretty cool. I thought it was going to be bubblegum, but I got to tell you, man, the show that comes on after where they're looking for the treasures, you know, like
I love that show.
I actually stayed up for and watched it because let me tell you, okay, I thought the one with Mick Foley was pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty cool how they go look for stuff and find it. But so far, I think far and away, the best one has been Jerry Lawler. I mean, that dude, when they put it all together, I thought, man, they truly, truly did him justice because he was the main man. And we talked about, you know, watching the Superstation TBS and the Sportatorium with World Class. But, man, when you would get to see, because we didn't get to see it much out here, when you saw the Mid-South Coliseum and you saw that dude, they would draw some people and they would do some serious gates, right? And that was all Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, funny thing if you say that, because right now on YouTube, I'm in the middle. It's 3 hours and 41 minutes. It's the best of Memphis wrestling and outsiders. So yeah. I'm on the match I'm watching right now, which I'm gonna watch when I get off with you. Is finish watching is the Road Warriors and the Fabulous Ones, and it's like, dude,
And I sit back and I go, dude, now this was wrestling.
Yeah.
This is what you sat back and went, damn, this is why I love this sport.
And
for this
and
right
like,
here.
What we were saying, there was no internet, there was no YouTube, there was no cell phones where you could tape everything or whatever. That they were drawing crowds strictly. Well, I talk a lot like a Joseph, you know, from PCW. That guy's got the mind for the business. But Jerry Lawler, that dude had a mind for the business. He was smart. And when they talked all about that Andy Kaufman thing and all that, he, you know, it's freaking genius because he said, hey, man, if you apologize to me, that's going to kill it. And we're done. And Andy Kaufman's like, yeah, you're right. Well, let's do this and we can keep it going. And I'm like, see, guys are freaking genius. But you know what really tripped me out, Mike, Michael Parks, real quick, for the people listening, you're here, you're at WrestleBoss Live. Don't forget, we're back on Tuesdays, so you can check us out. I'm talking to Michael Parks, who's the owner and the proprietor and the founder of the Pro Wrestling Affiliates. Is that right? I'm sorry, Mike. I don't have a
reason. You should even brought it up.
Go ahead. Give it to me one more time.
Pacific Wrestling Alliance. Oh, my God.
I was so close. But
Pro Wrestling Affiliates.
This is why I go to Michael Parks, because we've known each other for so long, and that's what we talk about. That's what we have in common, is the old school, you know, Memphis type or whatever. But, dude, I got to tell you, you know, we talk a lot about I like to do a lot of behind the scenes because people see the finished product or whatever. But did you see they went to some dude's house, and he had the shirt that Jerry Lawler had the heart attack in. And Jerry looked at it and goes, yeah, this is the shirt. And I'm like, dude, you know, how do you get that? Or what? But I guess he bought it at an auction or something like that. But I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, now that guy, that he went to his house, you do know he's like one of the premier belt makers.
Yes.
In pro wrestling. He makes all the championship belts for WWE. He's real good.
Yeah.
But it's he was a Jerry Lawler fan. I mean, diehard.
Well, he lives
in Memphis. Wow.
Yeah, when you live in Memphis, I mean, how can you not be? Or whatever. But I mean, I thought that whole piece was amazing because they showed when he went down and they showed him doing CPR, and dude, he was gone. I mean, he was gone, and they had to get the paddles and hit him with the AED machine and everything. And I was like, wow, you know, that was pretty cool. And Lawler was like, yeah, you know, they hit me with the paddle 7 times. So I think when you have a near-death experience, like, nothing could bother you. He was just like, yeah, you know, and this is the shirt or whatever. I thought, man, that's amazing to have that shirt or whatever, and just to have him come to your house and you know, talk or whatever. I mean, I thought out of all the shows, that one so far has been the best. I mean, would you agree, Mike? Well, first of all, Mike, the kid that they have doing that show has got to be the luckiest kid in the world, because not only is he training, you know, at the training place, but he gets to roll with. I would just like to roll with Jerry Lawler and talk to him on the drive to go see the dude, you know, or whatever. I mean, how did that guy get that job? I mean, what do you think? Why do you think they picked this kid?
He probably did one of those interviews.
Yeah.
You know, and Triple H and them liked him. AJ's his name. Big
yes.
AJ.
Is that the job to have or what?
It is, because, again, you know, you're sitting there and you're negotiating. And you're hoping that the person wants to give up the product, and then if they don't, you know, you get to call Triple H and be like, hey, man, you know, he wants to go over my budget.
How about they negotiated and Jerry Lawler sat down and made him a portrait of that dude in his robe? And I was like, man, this guy, is there no end to this guy's talent? I mean, he just sat down and drew him up a thing and signed. I'm like, God dang, this guy's a freaking genius, man. So, I mean, have you ever seen any more talented person than that?
That's how he got into the business. You know that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was drawing pictures of the wrestlers.
Yeah.
And one Saturday he had drew a picture of Lance Russell.
Yeah.
And Lance Russell brought the picture on television. And he said, "Hey, I'd like to show a picture that was drawn by a young man named Jerry Lawler." And that got him in the business. Just like, you know, it's crazy. Just like, you know, taking pictures.
Yeah.
Taking pictures, got Cornette and Paul Heyman in the business.
Yeah, how lucky can you be? And it's funny, dude, that we're talking because – you know, I'm watching some of the old stuff, and it is amazing because they didn't have a barricade; they just had a rope that kept you. Mm-hmm. They kept the people in the front row. And remember, Steve Austin, he goes, "Man, I walk into the Mid-South Coliseum, there's a goddamn rope. I'm thinking this ain't holding nobody
yes.
back or whatever." And then you would see the cage, and the cage was literally made like out of 2x4s with chicken wire or whatever until they upgraded. I mean, it was just old school, hardcore. No air conditioning, smoke filled. I mean, it was just the epitome of what wrestling should be. I mean, would you agree, Michael Barks?
Yeah, dude. Last week I watched the Terry Funk, Jerry Lawler empty arena match. And, it was like it was from 1981. And I'm like, what happened to wrestling? They don't tell stories like this anymore.
Yeah,
and it's just because I've been watching a lot of old WWF and realizing just how good it was, you know, back in the 80s.
Yeah,
and I'm sitting there going, dude, they were packed
mm-hmm.
with superstars and. As much as I get on Hogan, he wrestled everybody.
Yeah.
That man had to wrestle everybody.
Hey, he was in the Mid-South Coliseum too.
Yeah. I'm getting ready to, because I found a match that he wrestled or NWA Hollywood at the
mm-hmm.
Olympic Auditorium in 1981. And I found that I was scrolling on YouTube, and I'm like, oh, I got to watch that match.
Yeah.
So I've been watching I've been watching a whole lot of old school, man, because
I think that's
the best to watch now.
And I think it means more now because it's so business and show and watered down that you see that and you're like, man, it's so much better compared to what we have now. But real quick, I want to take a break because we got to wrap up, and I want to just ask you a couple quick questions on some stuff that's coming up. But did you ever listen to Jamie Dundee on the Colt Cabana podcast?
No, because I was so bad
you?
For him.
You
no,
know
no, no,
many...
no, because I saw a shoot interview where he was just totally just drunk
off his
butt. And...
Yes, he gets happy. But this interview, he was sober. And it was, dude, I literally listened to that podcast probably, I'm going to say at least 10 times between like 10. It was hilarious. And it was, not only was it funny, but it was like the truth because he said, he goes, hey, man, it was like a mafia back then. My dad told me you do not tell anybody what's going on. He said when they were doing a spot when I finally got older where I broke my neck, he made me wear that neck brace to school. He made me wear it when I went out with my friends. If I would go buy some cigarettes, he made me wear that goddamn neck brace. And I would say, Dad, I don't want to wear that. He goes, you put that goddamn neck brace on. Or whatever. He goes, it was like a mafia. He goes, and I was a little kid. And they had a big fight. He goes, and I come downstairs, and Moondog Spot and whoever are sitting in my living room. And my dad would go, hey, they want me to join their faction, man. What do you think, son? Or he goes, so he didn't smart me up to nothing until I was, you know, old. I mean, he talked about, because you remember, you know, Bill Dundee and all them, they were a big part of Memphis wrestling back then or whatever. So it's the one interview where he's sober and you can kind of catch the realities of what happened. You know what I mean? Cause, and then towards the end, he was like, yeah, you know, if I had it to do all over again, I wouldn't have got, you know, drunk and missed my flight for WWE. And he talked about all of it. It was far and away the most interesting interview that I have ever heard on a podcast. So if you get a chance, Michael Parks, Michael Aaron Parks of Pacific Wrestling Alliance,
hey.
you got to check that out. I mean, you will be fully enlightened, and I guarantee that you won't. It was funny because he said, "Yeah, man." He goes, "I'm gonna sue Ricky Morton and my dad." He goes, "Because they were getting me drunk when I was 11 years old." He goes, "That's why I'm so retarded today." He goes, he just like that. He goes, and I can't divulge too much because, you know, they say, "Well, when did you first get laid?" Or blah, blah, blah. He goes, "Oh," he goes, "I was like 11. He goes, "They got this 14. He goes, "I was scared to death." He goes, "Well, what?" She goes, "I don't know. She just had titties and everything. I took off running." You just got to listen. It just stuff like that. And it was hilarious. But it's one of the few that, you know, he's being truthful and sober, and you can check it out. So I got to take a break, Mike, but would you keep that in your Pacific Wrestling Alliance mind to check that podcast out, because it is well worth it. Let me take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more before we wrap it up. Hang on, everybody.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution, bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
You know, I always tell my wife too. I said, "I'm gonna be off by 8 o'clock. Don't worry, whatever." And this is gonna sound stupid, but it's the truth. I gotta go get gas. I don't know why I let my car go all the way to the gas light, but I was busy. But that brings me back to a story, because Michael Parks and I were getting ready to do a show, and we had his cousin, and we were driving from Long Beach area to Azusa. Okay. Why we didn't have no gas to this day, I don't know. But we were on the gas light in Long Beach. And by the time we got – do you remember that, Mike? What happened? Why didn't we have any gas that day?
Oh, no.
I mean, we coasted off the freeway into James' house. We got there, and we all got out of the car like it was crazy. All right, we made it. Why didn't we have no gas, Mike? What happened?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
But I'll never forget that day. You got to remember that day, because we were on fumes, literally.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
And then I don't even remember, did we get gas after
that?
Home. I don't know if we all chipped in. I think we had the money. We just... For some reason, we just drove to James' house. I remember, because we were putting together your show for Big House, and we were I think we were trying to get Conan, is what was going on, or whatever. So we were going to James' house to go see if we can get Conan. And I'm like, "Oh my God, we're not going to make it." And we coasted off the freeway. If we would have hit a red light, we'd have been dead. We'd have been pushing it. But we made it. Hey, man, that's wrestling. That's wrestling life right there, whatever. Anyways, Mike,
that's sacrifice right there.
I'm telling you, man, I can barely see because it's so dark in here. But, you know, the CML has their big tag team cup coming on. There's some tag teams I've never even heard of before. But I'm going to give you a couple of scenarios, and you tell me who you think might take this tournament. Now, first up is Ultimo Guerrero and Gran Guerrero. As a team, you got Sansón and Cuartero, who is, you know, the son of Los Hermanos Dinamitas and them. And then you got Felino. You talk about Rey Mysterio and Dominic. You got Felino teaming with Felino Jr., which is pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
And then Volador and Flyer are a team. And then you got Blue Panther Jr. and Black Panther, which are brothers. And then you have another father-son team. You have Atlantis and Atlantis Jr. Now, I'm going to go with Ultimo Guerrero and Gran Guerrero because those guys are badass. I think they're pretty cool. Who you think maybe, you know, Felino and Felino Jr. are going to put on a show or whatever, but I don't think they're going to take the whole tournament. What do you think?
Blue Panther Jr. and Black Panther.
You think so?
I was like, yeah, man. I always like Daddy.
That's a pretty interesting tournament. I kind of like those matchups or whatever. So I think it's going to be pretty cool. I haven't got to see too much of CMLL. Plus, you know, with the pandemic, everybody's kind of getting back to normal. So hopefully they'll have some fans and they'll be ready to go. Now, before we get out of here, you know, they already put up all the lineup for WrestleMania Backlash or whatever. You know, I could care less about Lashley, McIntyre, and Strowman. Who cares? Bayley and Bianca Belair, I'll be fast asleep. Charlotte, Ripley, and Asuka. Charlotte should never not be with the belt. I mean, it's just should never be without it. I don't know why they keep doing that to her. And then you got Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler against Rey Mysterio and Dominik. That I've seen it 18 times on SmackDown. And then of course you got Damian Priest and The Miz. Who cares? But I am interested in seeing Cesaro against Roman Reigns. I think, you know, Cesaro will put it on Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns has no idea because Cesaro could go. If Cesaro goes over for the belt, I don't know. I might just retire from all my radio shows and everything because I highly doubt that that's going to happen. I wish it would. Michael Parks, what do you think?
It's his time, dude. I mean, he's put in the work.
Right.
Why would you not allow him the opportunity to carry the big belt for the company?
Right.
After everything he's done for the company, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And he's got so many people behind him that are pushing for him to get there. You know what I mean?
And it makes sense. You put the belt on that dude, there is nobody he can't wrestle and not put on a good show. I mean, the guy, you put him against anybody. You could put him against Grand Metalik and he'll put on a show. You feud him and Nakamura, they'll bring the house down or whatever. Now, I think on purpose, they built him up and then they're going to go, no. just to mess with us. Because Vince McMahon has been quoted before as saying, I don't care if you like it or not. This is what we're doing and that's that. I mean, it's been said. Now, I certainly hope he does. Now, you know, Cesaro's one of the people, too, him and Nakamura, that I wish that their contract would be up, but they could go somewhere else so they could shine. So do you think there's any possibility whatsoever that he might go over for that belt?
I hope so. But, you know, I was getting ready to say, if he doesn't go over, let the man go. Now you're forcing him to be there just for the money because you're not using him for his talent.
Yeah.
And you're going to use him as enhancement so somebody else can get a push. Let the man go.
Yeah.
Let him go. I mean it's only right.
Yeah. Are
why,
you?
Why, I mean it's right now, dude. I mean, you bring back Eve Mendez or whatever her name is, and you cut Samoa Joe. You bring back somebody who can't even wrestle.
Yeah.
Granted, she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But she can't wrestle.
No.
Would you bring her back for?
Would you
bring her back for eye candy?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Maybe they just – Vince wants to look at eye candy or something. But are you like me? Are you like happy? It's like, man, I'm glad Nakamura and Cesaro are making good money, you know, whatever. But I just want them to do their time, save their money, and then just go and let them be free because that's what I think that they deserve. Real quick, Mike, before we get out of here because I'm running up against the clock. Gotta go get gas. But what, dude, the ultimate rib or slap in the face has to be Apollo Crews. when that dude was UHA Nation and wrestling in PWG, that dude was amazing. He wrestled John Moxley before Moxley left, and you can see in Moxley's face, like, where the hell did this guy come from? I mean, that dude is so talented. Now he has an accent, and the gimmick is, I don't know, what, Voodoo Nation or something like that. That, Mike, please tell me, am I wrong, or are they slapping him in the face?
You should. They're doing more than slapping him in the face. It's an injustice. You're getting ready to basically have this man use up his prime years doing absolutely nothing.
Yes.
Doing absolutely positively nothing.
Yeah,
and it's a shame. Mm-hmm. It's a shame. And the only thing that you can say is he's making good money.
Yeah. I can't.
He's able. I'm not hate on him for making money.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You know, you can't blame him. They make good money out there. But I have to watch Apollo Crews do this, and then I have to watch Randy Orton, who absolutely sucks, and what's his name, the other kid that comes out with him with the long hair, Riddle, or whatever. And I'm like, and it's funny because he comes out on a scooter, and my wife walks by, and I go, see, that's why they make fun of wrestling. That what Matt Riddle is a bona fide UFC fighter who is legit, and now he's riding a schooner in some Star Spangled Banner spandex bottoms, teaming with Randy Orton, begging for his like friendship. I mean, it's just horrible, dude. Well, look, Mike, I'm sorry. It's funny. My wife will come through and she'll go, man, do you ever let Mike talk? But I just, I get rolling, and it just gets to me. But hopefully you can come back on with me next Tuesday. What we need to do is get a few of the wrestlers and watch. Dark Side of the Ring is awesome, but, they showed the New Jack or whatever, and I was actually there when he threw, Vic Grimes off that scaffold. It was the scariest thing I've ever seen. But I would like to review. It was pretty cool how they had that Conrad guy and the producers come out and talk about it and, talk about the behind the scenes. I thought that was pretty cool. They just did Brian Pillman, which was pretty cool. So we need to talk a little bit about that, so maybe we could do that. There's just so much going on or whatever. So hopefully you can come back next Tuesday. I'll let you talk this time. How about that?
That'll work for me.
We can go from there. And I will talk about the Pacific Wrestling Alliance.
Yes.
And we'll go from there. How about that?
That'll work.
Real quick, before we get out of here, any update on PWA? We got anything in the works, or what do we got going on with PWA?
With California, we're just waiting until June 15th.
Yeah.
And after June 15th, it's a go.
It's funny.
It's a go,
There's a dude named JJ Gonzalez that's a huge, he's always at all the signings. He's always supporting all the wrestlers and stuff like that. And he put, I can't remember who he put up that he would like to see in a death match. And I put, you put Marta Villalobos in there, and that'll be a death match. Dude, you hit the nail on the head, man. If we put that in, and I put a picture for just jumping off the top rope, with just her tights, no shoes or whatever. And he's like, yeah. So we got to talk about stuff like that, man. Cause that she was, and legit too. I told you when I was talking to, I think it was Barca, and we were messing around, and I said, hey man, next time, my partner with Bronx Bomber and I against you and Marta Villalobos in the cage, making a joke. And he's like, dude, you want me to call her? I'll call her right now. And she'll come. I was just playing or whatever. So she was legit. But anyways, real quick, a big thanks to Tom Erickson for coming on and talking some, MMA and some coaching. And it's always great to pick his brain, man. I really appreciate it. Don't forget, if you want to keep up with him, you can just put Tom Erickson in your little Facebook search engine. He keeps everybody up to date on there, showing, his students graduating and training and getting ready. He's got a couple of kids that were doing really well in the Olympic trials and stuff like that. So make sure you keep up with him. Don't forget, check out Pacific Wrestling Alliance. We'll make sure we let everybody know when everything comes together to do the big show over there. And other than that, hopefully I get Michael Parks back on with me next week so we can talk a little bit more wrestling. How about that, Mike? You good with that?
Of course. I'm with you, man.
I'll see you soon. Do me one favor before next week. Check out that podcast. It's the Colt Cabana podcast. If you put that in on YouTube, you'll see Jamie Dundee. It's about an hour and 10 minutes, and it will definitely be well worth your while. I'm telling you, you will call me after that and go, dude, you were right. That's how confident I am. So with that being said, big thanks to Michael Parks for the Pacific Wrestling Alliance, not Pro Wrestling Affiliates, Pacific Wrestling Alliance. I'll talk to you soon, buddy. We'll see everybody here next Tuesday.
Bye, man.
Be back after
have a good one.
After this and next Tuesday. Thanks, Michael Parks. Tell those dogs to take it easy over there. All right.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.